Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is ESPN 97.5, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
Prepare for overreaction, on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, cash 'em or trash 'em with Jeremy and Joe. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. What are you cashing? What are you trashing, Joe?
Jordan Alvarez has moved to a -110 betting favorite to win the MVP. He's going to win the MVP and get the Triple Crown this year.
Ooh.
Trash.
Yeah, really? I have to trash it because of the second part. Like, if you just said MVP, I would have cashed.
Yeah, I think MVP is too easy.
But if you're right, you're right. But
yeah, I was about to get on to you for picking an easy one.
Yeah,
but Triple Crown is just
I could feel it in the eyes.
Yeah, I was like,
I could feel it.
You're going to go with your cash as a -110?
I could see it. Look, yeah, the look it was happening.
Yeah, the bet can't be a favorite. If
no,
trash.
No. MVP and Triple Crown.
Yeah, I feel like he wins home runs. The other two, I don't
they're
know.
They're up in the air.
Yeah, I feel like the other two are up in the
air. I think math is on our side.
Oh, it is. It is. But see, I think he's going to do it.
Batting average second place right now is .314. He's at .328.
That's a pretty good gap. But
he also still has to like have enough at-bats to qualify. He's been healthy this year.
Yeah.
Has to stay healthy.
That's true.
He's got 24 homers. Brian Buxton has 23.
And he's got them all in the last, 4 weeks.
Murakami's hurt. He's got 20. Rice, 19. Kurtz has 18. Kurtz is coming alive, too.
Oh, they've got any more games in Vegas, then I'm screwed with this because he's going to keep hitting tanks.
I didn't realize this. Kurtz passed Yordan.
At home
RBIs.
Oh, RBI. Okay.
The one thing that helps him, I feel like he's got more guys on base in front of him than Yordan Alvarez does right now.
Yeah, he's got 57. Yordan's at 54.
Okay.
But that's unfair because he had all the games in Vegas.
It totally is.
They're gonna rob Yordan of the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
What a sham.
Just because of it.
There's my cash to trash. Nick Kurtz should be stricken from the records because he played 3-6 games in Vegas.
Cash.
Thank
cash
you.
Cash it. Here we go.
Also, you shouldn't be allowed to bet on the sport you're playing, especially against your own team and still playing that sport.
Cash
or trash. All right, thanks. What you got, Brian?
Oh, was that was legit your – okay.
Yeah, I was taking a stray.
Okay.
That's what they call a stray in the business.
Well, I actually was going to go along those same lines, but I don't – I'm struggling with how to exactly phrase this, but I think Texas Tech's handling of Brendan Sorsby – sorry if I rob from a later segment. But is the –
I don't think you're sorry.
Fair. Facts.
Cash.
That checks out. No, but I think it's the biggest mishandling of a – like an NCAA player violation in modern college football history.
Wow. I mean, he's off the team now.
But all they went through.
It was embarrassing.
Of Nebraska banning him, Georgia banning him, the Big Ten talking about doing it, Big 12 talking about possibly barring them from title games.
Yeah.
All that for 0 games played.
So who mishandled it?
Texas Tech.
I think I'm going to trash it.
Well, trash?
Just players, though. I mean,
yeah, I'm talking about players.
Yeah,
coaches.
Just players. I mean, I think, because I say it, because like with coaches, like I think Jim Tressel getting fired is like a crime for letting him get fired because
over
players.
The tattoos.
What law do they break?
Huh? What law do they break? They got tattoos for money?
Yeah, that was the.
No, was so that, what? Why is that a crime that Tressel got fired?
You're such a smart ass. You know what I meant.
I think I'm going to cash it. It's hard to think of another one.
Because
by the institution?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to think of another one.
Because, like, they embarrass themselves. Like, we're going to talk about Sorsby later. And, like, have no – I don't have the anger and annoyance with Sorsby as much as I do Texas Tech. Like, I don't know what else he was supposed to do in the situation.
Well,
like,
not bad.
No, but like – in the
that was
in the,
easy, Joe.
No, in the post situation, boys.
Okay.
Like, the 22-minute video is embarrassing. Everything they've done, all the Cody Campbell stuff, it's exhausting. Like, they completely embarrassed themselves. Michigan took them off their schedule today in a sport.
I don't really get that, though. That's like false bravado.
It's a little performative.
Yeah,
for
like
sure.
They oh, already, definitely like, performative. He's no longer on their team. It was in a different sport.
Yeah, but like Georgia said and Nebraska said, just to do it for all sports.
That was so dumb. I thought it was so dumb of those schools.
I think it was unnecessary. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right, Brian. Like, I'd probably cash this as like just like one of the biggest mess ups and failures of an institution.
It just feels like today's outcome of Sorsby entering the supplemental draft was the most likely scenario once this broke. Because of the deadline, he could not wait for the legal process to play out. So you risked all of this, the tarnishing of the brand, however much you think they did, for nothing.
Yeah, I don't really think it tarnishes the brand, though.
I mean, that's the in the eye of every behold, you know, every person.
I think it was a misplay, but I still think Tech's fine. Like, it's still, they're all right. Like, I don't know what kind of damage there will be for them going forward.
I think they're just going to get the Astros treatment, probably.
Which, that doesn't mean anything.
No, it's just, it's going
to be booed. Oh,
they're going to be booed louder, probably, than they were. People might go there to heckle more than just watch the game, especially, like, if it's a lower-level opponent.
Oh, so
but, like, no, exactly. It doesn't matter. Like, their image has been tarnished.
I don't think so.
I think a little bit.
I think
it
was a misplay. I just don't know how their image, like, I don't know what's tangible in their image being tarnished.
I don't think there's anything tangible. I think they're just going to get, like, booed all the time and disliked.
I don't know.
Everyone's going to be rooting for them to
lose. Is that image tarnished, though?
Image being tarnished is as simple as public opinion has shifted negatively. And I know that's maybe an opinion more than something you can fact check. But
yeah, I guess that's my hang up is more that I don't think they have any tangible damage.
No, there's no tangible damage.
Maybe yeah, they're not going to lose an enrollment or lose, no. You know.
People are going to celebrate when they lose games this year, and they're not if they don't make the playoffs.
That's all I mean.
They're going to celebrate that, but that's it. Like,
it just feels strong saying image tarnished.
Fair. It's just they're going to be very disliked for at least this year. Now, how long that lasts, I'm not sure. Like, I think this is one of those things where – and even honestly this year, like – there could be another college football scandal in the next 3 weeks that overtakes this.
Very well.
Time will make this go away, or at least like put it in the back burner. They won't make it completely go away. But the other thing is, like, I think they would have been ridiculed and hated more if Sorsby played. Like, I think the news late last night helps them a little.
But this Texas
from
Tech,
that standpoint,
does Tech get the benefit of that? So since it wasn't their decision,
no. But you're talking about the perception of it.
Well, I know, but I'm tying that
no,
in.
Don't
like,
get,
I don't think Tech gets any reprieve.
No. But in terms of their image being tarnished, or if we're using that as a word, I think they actually got helped a little bit.
Yeah, unintentionally. Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, you know, yeah, so I think that.
Do you think there should be any punishments for the other schools that are involved in this? Like, there's reporting that, like, Cincinnati was aware that this was going on.
If they're aware, I mean, what can you punish them, though?
Allowing him to
lose
play?
A scholarship, like I mean, that didn't they?
You taking away wins off. That punishment.
It feels like you can't do anything with the current state of college athletics.
I agree.
Like that, and that's my biggest. Like that's my big picture view. Is like I don't know how you police any of it right now because everything doesn't feel like it can be policed. Like my bigger thing is, can we please figure out a way to police it? Also knowing that it's almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
Because why would the players ever sign off on a collective bargaining agreement? Like, oh, okay, so you're going to limit the amount of times I can transfer. You're going to limit the amount of, the possibility of me maximizing my earnings. Why would I sign off on that?
I don't think they will.
Unless all these power players are like, okay, well, we're not going to sign you. That's not going to be possible either.
No.
Like, Alabama is going to be like, okay, we're not going to sign a five-star quarterback because he's not signing a CBA. It's murky.
Welcome out. That's how the UFL becomes successful. That's the only way.
It's insane, dude.
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
Yeah, they just don't have rules, and it's hard. And then all the rules that they do have, just go to the courtroom and you find a positive ruling, and then you have to like find a good attorney to lawyer him out of that.
Yeah,
which is what the Big 12 did. That's what Yormark did.
No,
Yormark in the Big 12. Figured out a way how to out-lawyer Sorsby's lawyers.
Yep.
By this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask the courts to give us the power to have the power. And then Sorsby, like, okay, well, that's kind of scary. The deadline's coming up. If I don't declare for the supplemental draft and then Yormark and the Big 12 win their, you know, legal suit or whatever,
yep.
I can't play football for a year. So, like, he felt threatened to go into the supplemental draft because of the lawsuits. So that's what college athletics have turned to. It's like, whose lawyers are better?
I can't believe like the Big 12 had to get lawyers to be allowed to punish a player. That's crazy.
Well, look how many times the Trinidad Shambles thing went back and forth.
Oh, like it was like snip snap.
Yeah,
for like 2 months.
That's
to Jeremy's point, it was just a battle of lawyers who had the best lawyers.
That's what it's all come down to. In college. And that's kind of what I love college athletics, obviously. I hate that aspect of it right now. Hopefully they can figure out a way to fix it. I personally, I'm not smart enough to figure out that path. Because if I'm a player, I don't want nothing to do with the CBA. Because that's the most popular answer, right? We'll get a CBA and like get the teams to sign off on it and the players to sign off on it. Why would the players sign to a CBA? Right now, this is the most pro player it's ever been. Why would they give back some rights?
No, and then it's also going to limit how much money they can make, not just in terms of being there on campus for how long they can be. It almost probably turns into what we're going to see here with baseball playoff. There's no salary cap right now. If you do a CBA, there's going to be a salary cap in some capacity with college football. Like they're going to limit the earnings in some capacity for these players. Like all it would do would limit their flexibility to change schools. Because even like, I would prefer a world in which we had one transfer and then you could transfer again if your coach leaves or gets fired. I think that'd be a great system.
I would add in a graduation transfer too.
I'm fine with that. 1 year after you graduate, that's it. But from a player perspective, why wouldn't you want to be JT Daniels who can be at five different schools? Why wouldn't you want to be like the Miami kid who can be a tight end for 9 years in college football? Why wouldn't you want to be Chambliss?
You're ruining their earnings.
Yeah, it's like it's hard in a total free market to say like, no, we're going to rein you guys in. Why would anyone sign up for that?
They wouldn't. Like that's the challenges of a CBA.
The college football's biggest mistake that they made was not letting Northwestern unionize and start something.
Probably.
Like if Northwestern and that team under Pat Fitzgerald would have gotten their way, this might have all been avoided. Honestly. Because you might have been able to swindle that group of college kids because they might have got paid at all instead of, hey, this is a great deal. Instead, everything else turned into lawyers and Congress and nonsense.
Yeah, it might have been the best thing that ever happened to college football if you let it pass. A junkie says Texas should draft Sorsby and trade Stroud. Cash or trash?
Trash.
Trash as well.
Trash.
Anyways. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP, listener line. I got some reasons to be more bullish about the Texans offense. I really do. Tell you what they are next. It's Jeremy and Joe live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN 97.5. I also got reasons to be bullish on your next holiday. You should go on a Two Creeks Crossing Resort holiday. It's the best holiday. Do you like Mother Nature? You should. You're going to love the Mother Nature that is out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Hike on their 92 acres of property. Do some kayaking, play some pickleball, or just hang out by the pool with a drink. Swamps with a drink, too. You got a little TV there. You can watch all your sports. Also, the water park is open, Blue Bayou Bend. It is great. It's been open for about a month and a half. They love it out there. The Lazy River, awesome. The rides they have out there, awesome as well. So get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort and get away from the city, the job, coworkers that are causing you a lot of stress. And get on those open green spaces, the wildlife, the trees, the nature. Some of the best fishing in Texas, too. You can't beat it. And they got all the stays, glamping, waterfront cabin, tree houses, the RV stays as well. So book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Good vibes out here at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Very good. I had the fish and chips earlier. They were delicious. Brian had the Caesar salad because he likes to stab you in the back. Joe's watching his weight.
I've had the water.
Which
I need to order food because my fridge broke again.
It broke again?
Dude. Yeah.
What happened?
Circuit board fried, I guess, this time.
Is this completely different than the last?
They told us last time if it happens again, they know it's a different part, but it only lasted a month. And this time it's the freezer, too, so now we've lost everything. I'm pissed.
I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, how are you ever going to recover with those dino nuggets?
It's more like the $150 in groceries he got, and then it died the next day. And I was like,
"You have bad luck with that."
I was like, this sucks.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
It happens. Life.
I'll try to cheer you up.
You're bullish on things.
More reasons to be bullish about the Texans
Tell
offense.
Tell me.
Go Texans.
And it's not really like a – it's not a pun, you know. Toro's a bull.
Go Texans.
Swarm, all that stuff. It's not a pun. But I have a lot of reasons to be more bullish about the Texans offense, which can only help the Houston Texans, right?
Yes.
Houston Texans having a better offense is better than them having a bad offense, right?
100%.
That goes without being said. That's accurate.
Out.
Thank you, Nick. Last year, the Texans were 13th in the NFL in points scored. So if I think they're going to be better offensively, and that doesn't necessarily always equate to more points scored, because maybe you're on the field longer, maybe you don't run as many plays, that sort of thing. But I think that C.J. Stroud's going to be better. I don't think he can be worse.
Agreed.
So he's going to be in the second year of a system with Nick Caley. And look, I'm not saying he's going to be way better. I'm not going to go into the, C.J. Stroud's a top five quarterback again type of department. But do I think C.J. Stroud in 2026 is better than C.J. Stroud in 2025? If you all had to ask yourself this question, you should talk to yourselves more often anyways. Is C.J. Stroud in 2026 going to be better than C.J. Stroud in 2025?
Yes.
I think most people would say yes. I don't think it can get worse.
I think it can always get worse, but I think it's natural for us as Texans fans to lean on the optimism side of it.
I don't think it's – no, I think it's a fourth-year player that has already shown the ability to do it.
Yeah.
He's in the second year of his system. I think they're going to have a better running game, which is going to help him out, and I think they're going to have a better offensive line, which will help him out as well.
Second year of Sloak, though, worse than first year of Sloak. Like, you can always get your – just because it's year two doesn't mean it's going to necessarily get better.
Most of the time it does.
It does.
Like, you're going to have more success in your while you're, like, relatively the same age.
Yeah.
Like, you might be 37 years old and, like, just run into father's time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, that might hurt you. But I think a quarterback at Stroud's age, a second year in his system, is going to, more times than not, be better for him than bad for him. With Sloak, you're right. It was worse in year two than year one. Hopefully that's an anomaly. But, like, I don't even care what they're saying. So, that I think Stroud's going to be better this year than he was last year. I think the running game is going to be better this year than it was last year.
Totally.
You didn't
agree.
Have Joe Agreed Mixon. There. You have David Montgomery. Woody March in year two should be better than Woody March in year one.
Mm-hmm.
Another year, Jawar should be better than last year, Jawar. And if somebody beats out Jawar, well, then you had Jawar Jordan on your team kind of last year also, so you're better there. You're out recruiting that. Dare, whatever. Like, he wasn't really a piece for this offense. Did he help you in special teams? Sure, but whatever. We're talking offense here. I think the offensive line has improved from a talent perspective than it was last year. Ursary in year two should be better than Ursary in year one. Wyatt Taylor at left guard is better than anything they ran out there last year. You probably drafted a better center than you had last year, depending on how the battle is. Like, maybe Andrews wins the job, so I don't want to give that an automatic yet. Right guard, same guy.
Yep.
Right tackle, I think you got a little bit better there with the addition of Braden Smith. And then also, I like Trent Brown. Like, Trent Brown is a football player that I like. He's just always kind of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're in a better spot there. Receiver-wise, Nico is Nico, so wash there. Higgins in year two, better than Higgins in year one,
Agreed.
IMO. You didn't have Tank Dell all of last year, and who knows what you get from him this year. So, like, I'm not even considering that and necessarily win, but you have an opportunity of having some form of Tank versus having no Tank. Noel in year two should be better than Noel in year one. Hutchinson's still around. And you didn't really have a receiver last year that would really be in that category either. So, like, I think the receiver core is better. Tight ends, last year all you had was Dalton Schultz because of injuries. Dalton Schultz is back, healthy. Brevin Jordan could play for you.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Marlon Klein in the second round, so maybe that helped your position group a little bit better there. And then Kate Stover, will he make this team? Who knows? I think he probably will as a fullback, H-back type. Foster Moreau, like, is he going to be a huge factor? No, they're saying he's great for culture, all of those things. So I think the quarterback's going to be better. I think the running room's better. I think the wide receiver room is slightly better. I think the offensive line is better. So across the board, I think this offense is better. So I think that they will be better on the offensive side of things, and why I'm borderline bullish about this offense.
Yeah, so I won't go bullish. I think they're going to be better. Part of it's because it's hard for me to imagine they're worse. Like, the only way they're worse is if what started in the playoffs last year with CJ is now just going to be a thing where he's just a turnover machine. I don't really think he's that guy either, where he's just going to be fumbling it and throwing picks left and right and really costing his team all those games. You still have a very good defense, which is just going to help your offense even more. It's where there's going to be times where, like, they're not asked to do a lot. They're not going to be asked to be in these big shootout games ever, probably. So I agree, like, the offense should be better this year. How much better? I'm skeptical. Like, can they get some of those points from themselves and not Kaimi? That'd be nice. If he doesn't have to be the leader in points on this offense again in 2026. But it should be better this year.
I think it's going to be better. I'm borderline.
So they're 13th, right?
Points per game.
What is good enough?
I don't.
Do you have like a number in mind?
I feel like that number,
though.
I don't
like how you do this.
I know you don't.
Because I don't think that you have to have. I don't think that you. Like, you could be 15th in points per game next year, but look better offensively.
Sure.
You're not having the procedural stuff. You're staying on the field more. Your defense is going to be really good, so you're not necessarily going to be needed to score.
You're better in the red zone.
You're taking care of the football better. Yeah. You're better in the red zone. So I don't think it's necessarily. Like, you would think there's correlation there, but I don't think that it's 100%. Like, I think it's very possible the Texans are 15th in scoring, which is worse than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
But we look at the offense and we trust it more.
And because you also have the defense where, like, you can get a lot of turnovers. It can give you short field position.
Your scoring.
Yeah, but we could be looking at it as like, well, if the defense doesn't give you optimal field position, the offense doesn't really move the ball effectively. Like, I think you're probably right. I would still, like,
I think the
I'd love to see him in the top 10 still.
Well, of course, it'd be great. You'd have a top 3 defense with a top 10 offense. That's Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, just math.
No, I mean, I remember you went through it last year in the playoffs. You had a bunch of different, like, team categories where it's like, if you're not this and not this.
Usually you need to be top 10 in both.
To be a real Super Bowl team.
You can get away with it a little bit more if you're better on offense. Don't get away with it more if you're better on defense.
No, if you're not, defense is the one that was a killer when we went through that list.
Junkie, I think the playoff games where CJ last year is going to be a learning experience for him this year, and the offense is going to be better than last year. I hope you're right. I don't know how Stroud's going to. I think they're kind of separate conversations, though. Like, having a better offense collectively in the regular season next year, I don't think is equal to how Stroud looks in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
Maybe Stroud's just terrible in the playoffs.
So very much on
hopefully
block.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
But I don't think those two things are directly correlated.
I think for me, it's like, I really just care about, like, the Ravens game, the Steelers game. These tough defenses that they're going to play, that to me is where you can get a bigger picture of what's going to happen in the playoffs. Where, like, his regular season struggles against Baltimore, against the Jets, that's been reflective of what we've seen in the postseason. Is that when he plays the elite defenses, it's been a mess. The offense has been incapable of doing anything in the regular season and in the postseason.
Throw in bad weather into that, too.
Yeah, throw bad weather into that.
Because that's also part of his
struggle. Those are, to me, like, the test games. Like, when you know you're playing a really good defense, how does the offense look in those games versus the rest of the season?
What's frustrating about those games, too, is, like, if he just doesn't turn the ball over. Well, they won the Steelers game. But if you just don't turn the ball over, you probably beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's why they're going to lean into the running game. I think that's why it's going to be okay to punt. Like, punting's okay. Punting's better than turning it over. It's better than throwing interceptions.
Especially with this defense.
But it's a huge year for Stroud and his bounce back. Like, how he bounces back from that postseason disappointment, postseason embarrassment, is, I think, going to tell a lot about C.J. Stroud's career, quite frankly. I think if he has a terrible year this year, I think we're looking at a fizzling career. Can he stick around, like, whatever, like Geno Smith or
it's the Darnold,
you know,
path.
Baker, sure. Yeah. But, like, I think his days as a potential top quarterback are done if he has a disastrous year 4.
No.
But if we see improvement, it's like, okay, maybe he can be in a trajectory back to being a top 10, top 7 quarterback, or a quarterback who can be the quarterback for a Super Bowl winning team.
I think if he has a bad year this year, he's off the Texans. And we're talking about a Kyler Murray,
Tua,
Baker Mayfield, where, like, you're a quarterback potentially in a room with, like, Brendan Sorsby next year, and, like, there's a quarterback competition happening with a veteran and a rookie.
You turn into,
like,
Sam Darnold, Geno Smith.
Yeah, your whole
journeyman.
Like, if you play well enough, maybe you hold off C.J. Carr or Arch Manning, and they don't play right away.
C.J. Carr.
Yeah, he's legit.
What a homer opinion.
He's legit. But, like, you're not just going to another team and being a starting quarterback. Maybe you're the next, maybe you're the Aaron Rodgers replacement.
What are you rooting for? Right, let's tease that. 713-780-3776. Like, what are you rooting for with Stroud? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Ooh.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Ducky McSweeney's Pub. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Ducky McSweeney's, your place to watch football. We watched France beat up on Senegal earlier.
Minus one.
Yeah, they would have won. And Bobby's last goal was sickening.
That was
That was disgusting.
As you would describe it, freak show behavior.
It was. I like Mbappe, too. I like saying his name.
Mbappe.
Mbappe. Yeah. What game's coming up?
Iraq, Norway.
Yes.
Who are you pulling for?
Probably Norway.
Argentina plays later today, too.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, really? We got a little Messi?
Yeah. Argentina, I forget now who they play, but they're playing in KC.
They're playing Algeria.
That's right.
And then who we are you rooting for there?
Argentina.
Do you like, are you a big Argentina guy?
I'm a Messi guy, I guess.
why?
I don't know. He's good at soccer.
Do you like Messi or Ronaldo? Who's better?
I'll go Ronaldo. Bad statue. But
I'm a Messi guy. Give me Ronaldo.
Well, I mean, you didn't say,
that was a little weird.
Just because I root for one doesn't mean I can't root for the other.
I'm a Messi guy. Who do you like? Ronaldo.
Yeah. And then we got an 11 o'clock game tonight, too.
Oh, really?
Austria and Jordan played 11 o'clock at night.
You're probably pulling for Jordan there, huh? You've always been a Jordan guy.
Yeah,
Jordan
always guy. A Jordan guy. Yeah, sure.
You've always been a Jordan guy. 713-780-ESPN. So what are you rooting for with Stroud this year? Maybe that's a dumb question. Like the junkie, obviously you're rooting for him to be a top five quarterback. Any other answer is just wrong. Yeah, like that.
I was struggling.
Okay, go ahead.
Because like the argument is like if does 1 year is 1 year enough trust? That's the argument against this.
If
like
he's top five.
I think you're right. Like yeah, top five. But we call him a top five quarterback. We call him a top 10 quarterback. Yeah. And we've all been wrong. So like, do you really trust that one more year of that? Does it wash away your concerns over the last 2 years of football with C.J. Stroud? If you're convinced that one more year of like 1 year of top five play equals you're in on C.J. Stroud forever, no matter what, then he's a $60 million a year quarterback and you got no questions. If you don't trust that and you think it's going to be this back and forth where it's going to be these big extremes in his career, then you still might be pro moving on and not fully being able to trust him.
I mean, you're literally creating your scenario here, though.
Yeah.
Like, I would want a year where he's so good where I am convinced.
No, so, I agree.
And you just give him $60 million a year.
I think there are going to be Texans fans who, no matter what CJ does this year, maybe the Twitch is blinding me here a little bit with their hatred of him. But I think there are going to be people who, even if he is top five, unless it ends with a ring, are not going to fully trust CJ Stroud.
I would be in on him in that situation because we saw that he has it in him. Obviously, the rookie year was one of the best rookie years in recent memory. He's obviously had those moments like the San Francisco game last year. He's had moments in the second and third year where he showed flashes of that rookie season. So if he went out, it was a consistent top five quarterback all year because of what Jeremy talked about. Well, the receiver position improved. Year two under Nick Cayley, like all the reasons to be optimistic, and you pair that with a consistent top five season, paired with what we've seen in the past because we know what's in there somewhere, mm-hmm. I would be willing to pay him market rate.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I just was trying to kind of provide the other side of it of what could be. But, yeah, it's you want him to be a top five quarterback this year. You want there to be no doubt in your mind that he's worth the money.
That's what you would be rooting for.
No.
It feels like a long
make the
shot.
Decision easy. Really, yeah, I think that's the way to phrase it. Just make the decision easy.
What if it's his rookie year?
Either way.
Well, I see what you're saying there, but obviously you want to have the good because you want to have a good year.
Sure, I just want the decision to be clear. Either you have to move on or you have to pay
him. I think it's valid. I just think having the bad year puts us in store watching a disappointing year of football.
Yes, it
does. And I'd rather have a fun year of football than a disappointing year of football.
For sure.
But I hear where you're coming from, no doubt about it. Now, if it's just rookie year Stroud, I think he gives us that definitive answer.
What if there's a mix? What if it's an okay regular season to bad regular season, but then in the postseason, he just manages the game well enough to take you to the Super Bowl?
They'd probably pay him.
Like he doesn't. He's not the reason why you're in the Super Bowl, but he doesn't make the mistakes he made last year.
He doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, the Texans go to the Super Bowl last year if he doesn't turn the ball over a bunch. They beat Jared Stidham in the playoffs if they take down the Patriots. Like,
yeah, they're probably a Super Bowl team if Stroud plays average.
Yes, but like, is that a $50 million a year quarterback?
But because you have the fanfare of being a Super Bowl quarterback, yes, it would be. Because he would be on the – it'd probably be more than 50. But because he takes you there – Yeah, you would do it.
Because I think that's actually, like, the worst-case scenario for the Texans.
See, I thought you were going to go inverse.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go, like, great regular season and then has another crappy postseason.
So you can't pay him.
It might be actually your decision, I think, or your scenario is more difficult, I think. Because a lot of this is recency bias. Like, you see him have a great regular season, that immediately gets put on the back burner when he has a bad postseason.
Yeah.
If he has a mediocre regular season but then tears it up in the postseason, well, you're like, oh, okay, he's Joe Flacco. He's elite.
Yeah. And what happened with Joe Flacco
he
after
gets
that?
And you almost have to pay him.
Yeah, the reverse scenario where he's great in the regular season and terrible in the postseason, I think, is a very easy decision.
Yeah, you're 100%. Right. Yeah, Joe's scenario is more difficult.
Your decision is way more difficult.
Because then, like,
I think they would pay him, though.
I think they would, but the reality of paying CJ Stroud is,
I don't know.
I mean, their roster construction, it's really challenging to pay CJ Stroud. Like, I don't get how they keep this group together.
It's fake money, man. I don't know. Does anyone really understand the NFL salary cap, how they make these things work?
Yeah, it's just math.
I know.
But it's, like, not fake money.
Like, I say that for a joke, yes.
Like, they can absolutely tinker and create space and all of that, but it comes back to bite you. Look what it did to the Saints.
Yeah.
Saints a few years. It's going to.
But they made a longer run of it than anyone thought they would.
Now, I think Casario's.
Like a 5-year period where they kept finding the
true,
money.
True. True. But I think Casario, I think that's a lot of his philosophy of locking guys up early, is I think it kind of frees up some money in the future. So that helps. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jeremy wants to get in on Stroud. Jeremy, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think what you really want from CJ is just the truth. You know, we thought we knew what he was in year one, and then he kind of backed up in the last 2 years. So he's going to be good for the remainder of his career. Great, be good this next year. If he's going to be bad. So we know what to do. Pivot and move forward, or pay him his money and ride with him.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. I think it goes to, like, what Brian was saying. Like, give you a definitive answer one way. No to this half measure, on the fence. And I would even go a step further. Like, I think Casario and the Texans have to make a decision too. Now, it makes their decision easier, depending on if Stroud gives you an answer one way or the other. But in the scenarios that we drew up where you're kind of, on the fence, I think it's important that the Texans make a decision one way or another.
Yeah. Because I really struggle with, like, that middle ground, that the contract reflects that. Because I think that's really the perfect scenario if you're in this middle ground, is, like, he becomes a $35 to $40 million a year quarterback. And that still maybe is acceptable to Texans fans and to this roster construction. I struggle to see him doing that on this roster. Like, that feels like something he might be more willing to accept elsewhere. And even, like, the Texans organization, like you said, like, do you want to pay him $35 million a year, or would you rather go back into the draft or free agency at that point and just go a totally different path?
Yeah. Junkie, I would trade Stroud for Baker in a heartbeat. I don't think he's worth $60 million even if he has an MVP season. Certified choke artist like Lamar. Buccaneers would make that trade. Buccaneers would trade Baker for C.J. Stroud right now.
They can.
He's in the final year of his contract.
Yeah, they can trade for C.J. in the offseason. The Texans can sign Baker.
Well, it's more difficult in the offseason because Baker's free.
So I guess they could trade for Stroud and the Texans can try to sign Baker.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been the offseason to do it. Yeah. Not that I'm condoning that or co-signing it. The real thing that I want to see from C.J. Stroud is quick and continuously good decision-making. You and me both, brother. You and me both. Keith from L.A., I just want to see C.J. gain his confidence back. Have a all-pro season and let the work do his work. I'm with Keith from L.A. I just want C.J. Stroud to find his smile.
Find that smile, baby.
He's lost his smile, and I want C.J. Stroud to find it again.
Yeah, less happy feet would be nice, too.
I mean, I do have that. That's my biggest worry with Stroud is, smile. But seriously, though, like, when quarterbacks get to the state where they don't seem like they trust their protection and they're looking down, they're looking at the rush, they're bailing early, all the bad things that quarterbacks do when they're afraid of the rush, I feel like that's less fixable than physical things.
It's hard to recover.
Yeah. I think that's my fear with Stroud. He might already be broken.
My fear, too.
You need a elite, maybe, level offensive coordinator and elite-level talent like Jackson Smith and Jigba to fix it. Like, you need Sam Darnold.
Ghost.
Sam Darnold. Like, he's the perfect example of that where, like, now the Texans are not a mess like the Jets were, but, like, it just didn't go well. And he kind of got broken, and it took him multiple stops and then,
going
like,
to San Francisco,
perfect situation.
Minnesota.
I mean, the Texans actions are kind of telling you that they feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like, we want to run the football more than anybody else in the league. All right, when you do that, you're also taking the ball out of his hands.
You definitely are.
Which, I mean, I understand that a good running game makes it easier for a quarterback, and, you know, keeping the defense on their heels absolutely helps. And I think it is a quarterback's best friend. But it's not like they're turning this offense into the Peyton Manning Colts. You know what I mean?
I feel the same way.
They're telling you that their quarterback has limitations.
Yeah.
Because if you were Manning with the Colts, like, you're not sitting there and doing this stuff. You're not like, oh, yeah, we gotta be way better in the running game. Not that you're ignoring the position, but you're putting the offense in the hands of Peyton Manning. Kansas City, they're not ignoring running back, but you're putting the offense in the hands of Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Are you helping with him in the running game? Sure. But you're putting the ball in the hands of the quarterback.
Yeah.
It feels like this entire offseason has been taking the ball out of the hands of the quarterback.
Absolutely. Because they don't trust them.
I
mostly agree with you guys. The only thing I'm finding difficulty separating is you're absolutely right. All their actions say, let's run the ball. We don't trust Stroud. But that could also just be a defensive coach being a defensive coach.
I think that's valid. I think, like, I do think that if
but
there
he
was
do it for 3 years.
I know.
I do think, like, if there was a different quarterback in the situation, I think DeMeco would still kind of want to be a run-first football
team.
Like,
I feel like even with Peyton Manning, he'd want to be a run-first football
team.
Yes,
but I think there would be – but the passing game around it, I think it would still be – it'd be more expansive than it is right now. Like, because you would just trust him to do more.
I don't know.
I lean towards your side, Jeremy,
philosophy.
But I just DeMeco would want to run the ball anyway.
No, his philosophy would definitely back that up for sure.
Yeah.
I just think if they had a quarterback that they trust, they would, okay, you can make plays at the line. Okay,
yeah.
You can turn from a, you know, you can turn this, you know, off tackle into a play action. Like, mm-hmm. I think he would give him more control.
I mean, because even
more,
like,
ability.
Even like Buffalo, they're pretty run heavy. Now, there's a lot of Josh Allen run, but they use a lot of James Cook, obviously, in that situation. Like, they do care about running the football. Now, we'll see how their philosophy changes with the new head coach. An offensive-minded coach versus a defensive guy. But with the Texans, it feels like they're going to run the rock until it's not successful.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's wrong either, but
no.
We're talking about it from a Stroud perspective. I think it's a little bit of a tell on how they feel about it. They didn't pay him. Heavily invested in the running game, and they're all saying, like, oh, he looks so great. I think it's all calculated.
What does your gut tell you about what the end result of all of this is after the season right now?
I think Stroud's going to be better. I think he'll look better. I don't think he's going to look like a $60 million a year quarterback.
I don't either.
I think it's going to be this weird, like, oh, what are they going to do? They're kind of in purgatory.
Yeah.
I think
so where they are now?
Slightly better, because I think Stroud's going to be a little better. So
I think we're headed
similar,
towards.
Yes. Yeah.
Similar decision point. Yeah.
But a little bit more tolerant if they're like, okay, let's pay him.
I think we're headed
it's still
towards
scary.
Fifth year option. Maybe franchise tag after that.
See, I think that's where you start getting a little bit of pushback from their agent. I think whenever – if you don't extend him after this offseason, I think is whenever he starts to get messy. I don't think Mulligan is going to allow C.J. Stroud to play on the fifth-year rookie option. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you are.
I don't think they will allow Stroud to play on the fifth-year rookie option.
Yeah, I just –
especially if Caleb Williams getting an extension, especially if Jaden Daniels getting an extension, especially if Drake May's getting an extension. Heck, what about if Bo Nix gets an extension?
Yeah.
There's no way Mulligan is going to let him play on the fifth-year rookie option.
So then we're looking at a trade or just messiness?
So I think that they might – my guess, Stroud's going to be a little bit better. They're going to still be in this no-man's land, and I think they're going to try to level up a quarterback. I think they're going to try to attach a first-round pick to C.J. Stroud and trade up for Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Not
two first-round draft picks and Joe Burrow.
It just did not happen.
Yeah, something in that vein.
Yeah.
I think Casario is going to try to Jared Goff, C.J. Stroud at the end of this year. That's my prediction of what happens.
No, I think that's really good. It's so interesting.
I don't want that to happen. I want Stroud to be great, and they just pay him $60 million a year, and he's the franchise quarterback. That would make life easy.
Yeah.
You give some contract issues, but that's the life of being good.
The level up would be so interesting to see, like, who they could go after. Like, who could be on the market.
Yeah. I mean, the market changes fast.
Because, like, Goff.
Changes real quick.
Goff, Purdy, Hurts. Herbert? I don't think we're at that point yet with him.
I could see that.
It depends. I mean, things change so quick.
They do.
Yeah. So quick in sports. So 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Craig, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. You know, I wish everybody would grade CJ with the same lenses that they grade the defense. Because if I remember right, the defense against New England allowed two 50-yard drives for touchdowns, and they ran the ball and they passed the ball all over that defense. And it's like CJ is in the scope, but he had less than 3 seconds on almost every single play or less to get the ball out of his hands. The first play of the playoff game, Hutchinson is wide open over there on the right, and what does Hutchinson do? Run through the where he's supposed to instead of settle down. CJ threw to a spot. Hutchinson tried to go back and pick it up behind him. Look, guys, I'm 60 years old. I'm not new to this thing. I watched Matt Moorman. I watched Dan Pastorini. I watched all these other quarterbacks for Houston. CJ is head and shoulders better than the rest of them. He can put the ball where it needs to, but these receivers got to be where they're supposed to be. And if they're not, you're going to have turnovers because he's throwing to a spot where they're supposed to be. And even Christian Kirk on the third play of the game ran through where he was supposed to be, tipped the ball up, and it was almost picked off. The third play. The second play of the game was a running play to Marks that did nothing. It's the offensive line that's the problem. And the defense allowed 21 points that were not off of turnovers. 21 points against that defense, and two of those drives were over 50 yards. Grade CJ with the same lens that you're looking at the defense. That's me. Go CJ. They're going to re-sign him before this season. He's going to get at least a 5-year deal, and he will be a $60 million quarterback. And don't compare CJ Stroud to Dak Prescott that sits back there with all the time in the world and throws to a wide-open defensive back. I'm out.
Appreciate the call, Craig. The Texans had the second-best defense in the NFL last year.
Yeah,
they get a little bit of a cushion there.
Did he say C.J. Stroud was better than Warren Moon, or am I hallucinating?
No, he said that. He said more, at least more talented, which may be the talent.
No. I know I didn't watch Warren Moon, but no.
I'm not as old as our caller, but I also watch Warren Moon.
I think that Stroud is very talented. I don't think he's come anywhere close to – maybe a little bit of his rookie year. He hasn't come anywhere close to hitting that talent. And look, the offensive line hasn't been good. Craig's right about that. You know, the routes the receivers are running, like, we don't know the routes that the receivers are supposed to be running. Like, we don't know what they're calling on that specific play. We don't know if it's a 5-yard in. We don't know if it's a 5-yard drag. We don't know if it's a slant. We don't know. They run a lot of choice routes in Kaylee's offense.
Yep.
A lot of Kaylee's offense, they give the slot receivers the freedom to run the route based on what they see from the defense. Yep. So that requires a lot of, you know, strain on the quarterback. Quarterback better be sharp to read the defense in the same way the slot receiver is reading the defense. So it's hard to know what routes are supposed to be running because we're not in the room. And they run a lot of option routes. So I do think that Stroud's talented. I do think Craig's onto something about the Texans' offensive line.
Sure.
But the reason that Stroud's graded more difficult and harsher than the Texans' defense, because the Texans' defense was far better relative to their position than C.J. Stroud was relative to his.
Yeah, I just don't. Like, maybe, like, in Craig's view, he's the best quarterback in Houston sports history.
Seems like it.
I'm sorry, it's a low bar, like, just to be honest. Like, it's not that high of a bar to pass. But C.J. Stroud has not passed that thing. The defense, yes, they had mistakes last year. But C.J.
Every defense is going to. Like, even the best defense in the NFL is going to have games where they allow 28 points.
Like, it's going to happen.
A lot of those are short fields, too. Like, 50-yard drives aren't that
long. That's not that – there was a lot in there that I don't think he realizes doesn't really apply anymore. One, 21 points allowed in a playoff game isn't some insurmountable number.
Stroud threw 4 interceptions in that game.
Yeah.
He's the only quarterback ever to have 5 fumbles and 5 interceptions in a playoff.
Like, I don't think the defense was, I don't think the defense was great in the Patriots game. I think it was good enough to win.
They gave up a couple bombs.
I don't think it was good enough to win. I think it was good enough to win, not great. But who had a better performance in the Patriots game?
Yeah.
The defense or C.J. Stroud?
Right.
The defense.
And honestly, like, his whole point about 3 seconds to throw the ball. Yeah, it's the NFL. Like, what quarterback is sitting back there with 6 seconds all the time?
He said that in a positive way. He said that Dak has three seconds, right?
No, he was talking about CJ. Okay, he was
got his timing wrong. I don't want to nitpick.
No,
that.
But and he's right about the offensive line. The offensive line's not good enough. We know that.
And then, look, maybe he got better.
Yeah, I think it's got better. To me, it's like if Nick Cassero ever is not the GM in Houston, it's going to be because of offensive line evaluation and whatever decision he makes a quarterback with CJ Stroud. Because the offensive line has not been good enough, period, for years. Totally agree. We've also seen CJ Stroud have major success with an offensive line that's not elite before.
Yeah, rookie year.
Like,
they started off poorly and they figured it out.
I know on that second interception, I was just watching it. There's guys in his face. He's getting hit.
Then take the sack.
Take the sack. He threw the ball up into the air. Is one of the worst decisions you could ever make as a quarterback. That first one, he airmails it over Christian Kirk's head. The whole point of CJ's throwing it to.
He wasn't in the spot he's supposed to be. Kirk was supposed to be faster. He's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Just throw it to the spot. Yeah, okay, tell me about that Marcus Jones pick six. Just throw it to
the Cougs,
spot.
Go Cougs, by the way.
Go Cougs.
Most electric punt returner in the history of the game.
Troll.
He leads the NFL history in yards per punt return.
I know.
It's not a troll. It's factually correct.
His career's not over yet.
What do we call not a troll, but a fact giver? Because that's me.
That's you. Call it a Branham.
I feel like you troll with facts. You were you tried to trigger Joe by slandering Devin Hester.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Oh, see, I thought that's what the whole take was built on.
No.
Oh, okay.
I knew right away. He's trying to trigger Joe because of Devin Hester.
I had done that in the past.
Okay.
But it wasn't my intent there.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought that whole take was built on the first time you did it.
I think it probably was.
Okay.
But I forgot about that in the moment.
Gotcha.
In this moment, I forgot about that.
He's incredible. He's incredible. I don't want to take that away from him.
He does.
Devin Hester's literally the Hall of Fame for just that.
Well, Marcus Jones should be, eventually.
We'll see.
He needs the volume. He's got some time to go.
He needs the counting stats. But Marcus Jones got the average stats. All right, 713-780-3776. Junkies have some thoughts about Stroud, and they also might have some thoughts about our last caller, Craig. 713-780-ESPN, CJ Stroud. Oh, boy. This is the conversation. This is the old VY conversation. Just turn it on, and here we go. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe live from Ducky McSweeney's on ESPN 97.5. I want to tell you about the greatness that is Pro Dunk. Pro Dunk is awesome. I love Pro Dunk. Why do I like Pro Dunk? Because I like basketball. Why else do I like Pro Dunk? Because they make the best basketball goals you'll ever find. The highest quality basketball goals you can get your hands on. Don't waste your time in the big box stores. Those goals are no good. Wind's going to blow them down. They're going to rust. The rim's not going to be level. It's not any good. If you're going to get a goal, do it the right way and get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. They've been serving the best goals since 1984 as well. Tempered glass backboard. That thing's awesome. Gives you the authentic feel of the pro gyms, the college gyms. It's got a breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It is rust-proof, and it's height adjustable too, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. You got to check out all their goals, the in-ground adjustable, portable, wall mount, roof mount. They can do it all. And Thor. Thor is an awesome goal. Thor has their lightning adjust feature. ProDunk's lightning adjust feature allows you to raise and lower the goal with a drill. Easy to do, fun to do. You can get anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Plus, their accessories, top-notch. LED light kits for night play. It gets a little hot in the summer. You want to wait until the sun goes down. Don't blame you. LED light kits for that. You're at work, kids are at school, LED light kits. You can play at night. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. And plus, they can install the goal for you as well. You're not great with a ladder. You're not great with a level. You're not great with a drill. We'll let the pros professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. Order now at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.